Amen. We're going to read some verses in the book of Luke and also the book of Acts. The book of Luke, chapter 24, and verse number 46. You probably would think, well, why would you choose a subject like this on Sunday morning? The subject is, why Pentecost? Why Pentecost? Well, we'll try to answer that question this morning. And I think it's an important question for us to think about. But let's read these verses in Luke 24, verse 46. It says, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued." The word there means clothed. "Until ye be clothed with power from on high." Amen. Those are the words of Jesus speaking to his disciples before he ascended. And then the same similar message is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. "Being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth." Why Pentecost? Why Pentecost? Well, especially in a time when we are giving emphasis, the last several services, we've been talking to you about the importance of our witness, the importance of our reaching out to those in our world that are lost. And you can't talk about witnessing, evangelizing, missionary work. Actually, you can't really talk about the message of the whole New Testament if you don't look at this important topic, because really this is central to all of the New Testament. It's central to all of the writings of the Apostle Paul, because the church was born in an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God was poured out there at Jerusalem, and that was the birthplace of the church. And it was this outpouring of Pentecost on the day of Pentecost that gave this great surge of power to see the church born, and then to see such wonderful things take place in those early days, and then down through the centuries, and even now in our day, where there are people who are desiring and hungering after the things of God, wanting to be used of the Lord. There's no more significant message than the message of Pentecost than looking at what the Bible says about Pentecost. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to give a little emphasis to the Holy Ghost this morning, to the outpouring of Pentecost. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. It's all I've ever known. And my mother was saved in a Baptist church, later was invited, maybe, I don't know if it was a year or two later, invited to a Pentecostal revival. She was nervous about going to that revival because she had been warned that, you know, this Pentecostal message might be something that would be even of the devil. So be careful about getting involved with those Pentecostals. She was a little nervous about going to the revival, but she went. There was this hunger in her heart. There was this desire to do something for the Lord. And so she went. And during that revival week, she began to seek the Lord. And that week, she was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I've been in Pentecost all of my life, since I was a young person around the Pentecostal message. You say, well, I don't know why it's such a big deal. Why don't we just say that we love Jesus and set aside? Have you heard this terminology lately? I've heard it. Let's just love Jesus. Why do we have to talk about all this doctrinal stuff? Why talk about doctrine? Let's just all love Jesus. Well, if you love Jesus, you are going to love the teachings of Jesus. And the doctrines, the word, just literally means just his teachings. If you love Jesus, you're going to love his doctrines. You're going to love his teachings. And to love Jesus is more than just a superficial thing. The reality is, if you love him, you're going to love his ways. You're going to love his teachings. You're going to love the principles of the kingdom of God. And he invested in those disciples, those 12 followers of his. He invested in them those 3 years, teaching them and instructing them and preparing them and training them. They needed all that he poured into them because of the work that they had to do. And so if instruction and training would have been enough for them, don't you think that getting instructed from Jesus, the Son of God himself, would have been sufficient? If training and teaching is all that we need to reach our world, don't you think that those disciples would have been well qualified? But when Jesus was ready to ascend to heaven, I read to you from Luke, I read to you from Acts chapter 1, he said, no, you need more. There's something that I'm going to send, I'm going to give, that you need if you're going to be able to carry out what I've called you to do. So he said, stay in Jerusalem. Don't even attempt the work. Don't attempt evangelizing. Don't attempt witnessing. Don't attempt the spreading of the gospel. Stay in Jerusalem until you're completely clothed with the power of the Spirit, endued with power of the Spirit. Stay there and until you receive the Spirit. So if the training and instruction and even the example of Jesus would have been enough, he would not have said to them, go to Jerusalem and wait there until you are filled with the Holy Ghost, and then you'll be ready to do the work that I've called you to do. He was leaving for all of us that were to follow the pattern that we were supposed to pay close attention to. The pattern is this. You cannot do the work and the ministry that God has called you to do until you have been endued with power from on high. Amen. And so we need this emphasis in our church. We have out there on the front lawn on the sign, it says, First Pentecostal Church. Now, I know it's not all in the name. I know there's a lot of good churches that their name doesn't necessarily say Pentecostal. There, we're First Pentecostal for a reason. That's who we are historically. That's who we are as far as the church and the history of the church. That we were, from what I understand, the first Pentecostal outpouring in the state of Kentucky happened right here in London, Kentucky. And our church back in 1907 was born in that outpouring of the Spirit of God. And so we've got a rich, wonderful Pentecostal history. And we're grateful for that, and it's in the name of our church. And again, I'm not saying it has to be in the name of the church, but I do know this, that there has been this, instead of the emphasis on Pentecost, in some cases, there has been more of an attempt to kind of make everything kind of generic, so that you don't know if it's a Pentecostal church, you don't know what they are, you don't know if they're Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian, you're not really sure. And again, I know it's not all in the name, because what would be even more disturbing and is more disturbing to me is the fact that we have it on our name, but do we have it in reality in our lives? It's one thing to have it in our title, but do we have it in experience? Do we have it in reality in our lives? What a sham it would be for us to say we are a Pentecostal group of believers, but we do not have the power of the Spirit of God actively working in our lives. That would be even more disappointing. And I just pray that God would stir our hearts to realize we've got a big job to do. We've got a world to reach. We've got people that we need to touch their lives all around us. People that are bound, people that are in darkness, people that need Jesus in their life. And you and I, we need that something extra to be able to accomplish what God has called us to do. And that has been made available to the church through this wonderful Pentecostal experience. Hallelujah. Praise God. We don't want to fail to demonstrate the power of Pentecost in our lives. We want to understand that it is important, and it is Pentecostal doctrine that was emphasized by Jesus by telling those disciples, go to Jerusalem, wait there, stay there until. Don't even make another step. Don't make an attempt. Don't do anything until you are filled with the Spirit. Amen. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, I didn't come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. Not just my words, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 5, he said, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Now, the Apostle Paul was trained. He was educated. He could have easily have leaned upon his ability to articulate a message. I know that he had the ability to communicate. He was a powerful person. But he said, I didn't lean on that. I didn't come to you in my own enticing words, my own ability. I came to you in the demonstration and the power of the Spirit. That's what Paul leaned upon, was the power of the Spirit of God. Not his intellectual power, not his ability to communicate, not any of those forces. But his greatest emphasis was on the fact that he needed to be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit if he was going to be able to do anything for God. Amen. So any venture that you attempt for God, anything that you try to step out to do for God, you're not going to be able to really do it at its real potential as a believer unless you have the working and the moving of the Spirit of God at work in your life. It will make all the difference in your ability to do anything for God. Those early disciples, they needed the power of the Spirit of God, and we need the power of the Spirit of God in our lives as well. If we're to declare the gospel, if we're to be an effective witness, then we're going to have to be filled with the Spirit, empowered of the Spirit of God. If we're going to be able to reach our world, and I'm telling you, we have a task that is before us today. As a matter of fact, we have an impossible task, reaching our world for Jesus Christ. Has he commanded us, as we talked earlier about the Great Commission, has he commissioned us to do something? Did he tell us to do it knowing that we could never be able to get it done? No. He said, here's the job, here's the commission, and here's the tools to get it done. Amen. Here's the job. There are 7 billion people on this planet, and many of them do not know the Lord. It's an overwhelming task. Can we do it? No. Do we have the ability to do it? No. And so he empowers the church. He empowers the church. He empowers believers to carry the gospel. And so he commissioned us, he commanded us, And he has equipped us with the power of the Spirit of God to get the job done. It is an impossible task. We're dealing today with cultural differences, ethnic differences. Our nation has always been a mixed a nation of different ethnic groups, but it's becoming increasingly more so now than ever before. And all kinds of barriers to being able to get the message across to a world that is around us. It's an impossible task. It's humanly impossible to break through to a people who don't know God and for the most part don't want to know God, could care less about knowing anything about God. In some cases, they are hostile toward Christianity and toward the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our task is an impossible task. With men, it's impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. And without the Holy Spirit, we are lacking, we're deficient, we can't get the job done, we can't accomplish what He's asked us to do. But as we take advantage and we receive the Spirit and we become a church that is empowered of the Spirit, then we can accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish. Amen. It is an impossible task. There are people that you know and that you will meet that they've lifted up barriers. They're resistant to the gospel. They're hardened to the gospel. You can't talk to them. You can't talk them into it. You cannot break through that hardened shell of resistance that they have built up. But the Holy Ghost can. The Holy Ghost can. The Holy Ghost can break through that barrier. The Holy Ghost can penetrate and anoint you and anoint your witness and anoint the Word of God. It can penetrate down to the hearts of men and women and can break through the barriers. And the impossible task becomes possible when we are anointed of the Holy Spirit to speak and to declare the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why Pentecost. That's why we must have Pentecost in our lives. And it's not just a denominational thing. No. Every believer, every Christian needs the power of the Spirit of God. Whoever you are, if you are going to be able to be obedient and do what God has called us to do, then you need to be filled with the Spirit. Another promise of this experience is boldness. 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 Really, boldness is just confidence and courage. Confidence and courage to speak for the Lord in a world that is dark and in a world that doesn't want to hear about God and that is resistant to the things of the Lord. Acts chapter 4 records the first resistance to the early church and all that they went through, the threatening that came against them, and how that they were told not to speak in His name anymore. Don't preach in His name. Don't speak the gospel anymore. Verse 29, their prayer was, "Now, Lord, O Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant to Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word." Amen. They prayed for boldness. They didn't back down. They prayed for boldness. The Bible says, "And the place where they were gathered began to shake, and the Spirit of God was poured out upon them, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Glory to God. They went forth into a world that didn't want to hear it, but desperately needed to hear it. Now, that's the world we live in today. They don't want Jesus. They want to know. They don't want the gospel. They don't want to hear it. But they desperately need the gospel. They need Jesus. Luke chapter 9 and verse 26. "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory." Wow, that's pretty powerful. We are called of God and to be filled with the Spirit, to receive boldness to speak up and to live this life with boldness before a world that desperately needs to hear about the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has put you as an ambassador on your street you live on. He has put you as an ambassador on your job where you are. You are there as an ambassador to your family. You're an ambassador wherever God places you and calls you. And he wants you to speak up, and he wants you to speak with boldness and courage and confidence, because the world needs so desperately to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why Pentecost, because the world needs boldness. Have you noticed how bold that the world is? I mean, they're bold. They're out there promoting all of this, transgender stuff. They're out there promoting it. They're promoting this wickedness, this vile, and they're proud of the things that they should be ashamed of. And that's the degradation of sin and how low that we have stooped in our world and in our nation right now. And then for those who know the Lord, we're backing down. We're ashamed. We're not willing to speak up. We need more of the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, because we have to be willing to speak up in a world that they're bold to speak for their causes, and we should be bold to preach and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why Pentecost? Well, because there are a lot of people that are so hard and so resistant that they've allowed certain strongholds to be built up in their life that they cannot make a turnaround. They cannot make a change. Where they are right now, they are held fast in the strongholds of the enemy. You need the power of the Spirit of God at work in your life, because that will break through all of that. Remember Saul on the road to Damascus? You talk about a turnaround. He went with letters to destroy the church that just a few days later, he has now made such a turnaround that he's now promoting it. He's now declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he has been made such a turnaround. Let me tell you, God can make a turnaround. Now, Marvin, I want to tell you this, not to embarrass you, but I was scrolling through the sheriff's Facebook page the other day. And I went back a ways. And I saw all these people that had been incarcerated. And I was just kind of flipping back through. And lo and behold, there was Marvin. I saw Marvin Spencer. And he had his orange suit on. And it's probably been a couple years ago or something like that, 2 or 3 years ago. I don't know when it was. But there he was, a prisoner. There he was, locked up. And when I looked at that picture, and now I look at Marvin, I'm just amazed. I'm amazed at the turnaround. I'm amazed at what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for it. And do you know there are a lot more Marvins out there? He knows some, and you know some, and I know some. They're out there in this world, and they're bound in sin, and they don't have any hope for the future. And their life is so messed up. And honestly, when you talk to them, we don't have the power to do anything about it. We can't see their lives changed. We just don't have the ability. That's why we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why we must be filled with the Spirit, to have boldness to witness to them, boldness to declare that Jesus can bring freedom and deliverance into their lives. Yes, they're bound, but it's God that can turn them around. And as he did to the Old Testament Saul, when the Spirit of God came upon him, the Bible says he became another man. Praise God. He was turned into another man. That's what I love to see. I love to see God turn people and turn them around until they are so transformed that it's hard to even think, how could that have ever been that person before? They're so changed. They're so dramatically changed by the power of God. I know I can't do it, but I know that the Spirit of God in my life and upon your life and upon the church, that we can preach. That's why we must have Pentecost, because of a lost and a dying world that desperately needs Jesus. And they cannot be turned around unless there is a church that will confront them with boldness and to declare the message of the gospel to them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We need Pentecost in these last days, because these are days that we may actually face persecution. We may actually face what some of those disciples did in the book of Acts. We may find ourselves facing situations where we are under pressure just because we're standing up for the gospel. Let me read to you from Acts 13 and verse 50. It says, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and the honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast," kicked them out. But the Bible says, "They shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium." Now that just meant that to shake off the dust of their feet, that just meant they were not going to allow what happened there to stop them from doing what they were called to do. That experience, they were just saying, that is not going to stop us. We're going to shake off the dust of that experience and that rejection. We're going to go on to the next place, and we're going to keep declaring the message of the gospel. And it says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Praise God. And so Paul and Barnabas, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were filled with joy, and they did not allow the persecution and the opposition to discourage them or to stop them. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're filled with the Spirit, then you can even have joy when you're persecuted. If you're filled with the Spirit, you will be unstoppable, because the enemy will not be able to stop the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if one person says, "No, get away from me, I don't want to hear about this," well, there'll be another one that will hear it. There'll be someone else that will hear it. Remember when the apostle Paul was in Athens, and it says that some of them called him a babbler. Some of them said, "We'll hear about this later." And there were a lot of them that rejected him. But it says some of them clave to him. Some of them clave to him. Some of them got a hold of it. And there are those out there. Sure, there's persecution. Sure, there's those that will reject the message of the gospel. That happens to you. It happens to me. But there'll be those from time to time, they're going to get a hold of this. They're going to hear it. It's going to sink down deep in their heart. And the Holy Spirit at work in your life and in my life is going to give us the ability to penetrate the hearts of people in our world. Amen. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Why Pentecost? Oh, there's a lot of reasons why. In the age that we're living in right now, oh, there's the need for a heavenly endowment of power. Amen. The Bible, that word in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power." The word is, the Greek word is dunamis. We get our word, I know you're familiar with this, we get our word dynamite, but you'll receive this explosive power that will cause you to be able to be a witness. And the Greek word is martus, which means that you will have the power even to proclaim the gospel, even to the point of death if necessary, even the power to be a martyr if necessary for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit gives to us that power. I've told you before that I listen often to a lot of different speakers and preachers. One of my favorite is Elizabeth Elliot, as far as lady speakers. And her husband, Jim Elliot, along with four other missionaries, went to the Alca Indians in Ecuador. And they went there knowing
knowing that they were really placing themselves in serious danger. And they, as you know the story, they were speared to death and died. And what a tragic, horrible thing that it was. 3 years later, Elizabeth Elliot with her little baby daughter went right back to Ecuador, right back to that same tribe of Indians. And she lived among them. And that tragic death of those missionaries, it did something not only to the nation and the community of missionaries, but it did something to the Alca Indians, because they saw that these men loved them enough to lay down their life, so that when Elizabeth Elliot and some of the others who went with her back, and she spent years, I think it was 6 years, 5 or 6 years, that she lived among the Alca Indians, and she declared the gospel to them, and she preached the gospel to them, and she translated scriptures for them, and did the work of the Lord, and the door was opened. Even the power to be a martyr, even the power to lay down your life if necessary, so that the message of the gospel can go forth. I don't know what we'll face in the next 5 years, 10 years. Who knows what we might face even here in the United States of America. But I do know that the power of the Holy Ghost will equip us for whatever challenges come our way as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can declare to this world this important message. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why Pentecost? I don't understand why that any Christian would be ashamed of Pentecost. The very thing, when you study the New Testament, it is central to the message of the New Testament. I mean, the kickoff to the New Testament church, it happened because of the outpouring of Pentecost. And all through the book of Acts, and then of course through the other writings of the apostles, this message is repeated over and over and over again through the power of the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, the working of the Spirit of God upon them, equipping them and giving them the ability to do what they did. The Apostle Paul, 3 different missionary journeys, traveled to all of the known world, was led of the Holy Ghost. Remember how that he was wanting to go to one city and the Holy Ghost forbid him to go. He was then decided, well, I'll go over here then to this other area, this other region of Bithynia. And the Holy Ghost again said, no, don't go. And then that very night, he has a vision of a man in Macedonia. And he hears the message, come over and help us. And the Holy Ghost directs him to go there and to preach the gospel. All through the New Testament, the working of the Spirit of God was the central message of the New Testament. And it has to be important to us if we're to be able to do the work of the Lord in 2019. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pentecost. The importance of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Now, many of you, no doubt, have been filled with the Holy Ghost. But some of us, after a period of time, we allow that experience to become not as important to us, not as real to us. As a result, we are not filled again and again and again as we're commanded. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The phrase there literally means to be filled again and again, to be continuously filled with the Spirit. Continuously filled with the Spirit. Amen. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't allow the things of worldliness and carnality in your life, but instead be filled with the Spirit, and that'll flush out all of those things that don't need to be in your life. We need the renewing of the Holy Ghost in us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you have never been filled with the Spirit, amen. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved. I understand we're born again by grace, through faith. I understand that. But this is a provision. God has made available to the New Testament church, and he wouldn't have provided it if we didn't need it to do what God has called us to do. Amen. We've got a big job. We've got a community here filled with churches, but yet we've got a community filled with people that don't know the Lord. Many, many, by the thousands that are in our community that don't know Jesus. And they're our mission field. They're yours, they're mine. Our mission field. And we need Pentecost to be able to reach them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would stir up in the hearts of your people a renewed hunger, a renewed desire. Help us, Lord, to see how desperately we need you, Lord. How we need your wonderful Spirit in our life. This wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that third person of the Trinity. Lord, and you've made provision for us. I pray, Lord, for everyone in this service today that you would just ignite a fire in us. A desire for more. More. Of you, Lord. More of your presence. More of your power in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.